The lesson this morning is Psalm 101, verses 1 through 8, maintaining the effect of righteousness in administration. One of the big challenges those in oversight and human institutions face today are problem people in their administrations, folk who are unrighteous and those whose efforts and attitudes undermine the administration itself. This could be in a business, it could be in a school situation, it could be church, any time, any place where you have an administration. Well, Psalm 101 records David's efforts before the Lord to provide for an effective administration in his court that God would bless. So we view it for our insight and our edification as follows. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into his word this morning. Father, we're grateful for the truth that is found in the word of God. We thank you for the indwelling Spirit of God who comes alongside us to help us and who clarifies the truth and who also equips us to live it by the power that he provides. As we get into the word this morning, Father, we ask first of all that we might understand it, that we would perceive its application, and then also live it by your power for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I'd like to read the psalm as it appears in the King James Version, and then we'll look at it from the Hebrew text. Psalm 101, this is a psalm of David. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside, it shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will between the mornings, literally, destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Okay, well, the Hebrew text helps us significantly here. So the introductory remark of this psalm comprises the first part of verse 1, so we're just staying with the English Bible's numbering system. And the first part of it says that it's a psalm of David. And of course, that those introductory remarks in the psalms are actually part of the text, so they're just as inspired as the rest of the verses. Accordingly, we translate Psalm 101 as follows. I will sing of your loyal love and justice. To you, that's an emphatic pronoun which is written separate from the verb and in front of it. You, O Yahweh, will I sing praise. I will give attention to a blameless path. When will you come to me? I will walk in my house with a blameless heart. No vile plan or purpose will I set before my eyes. I hate to do deeds that apostatize. That means separate from God. It will not cling to me. Men with a twisted or a perverse heart will be far from me. I will not know, which means I will not tolerate this evil. I will put to silence him whoever slanders his neighbor in secret. Whoever has haughty eyes and a proud heart, him, emphatic pronoun, will I not endure. My eyes will be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. That means they may dwell with me in my court or in my administration. He whose walk is blameless, he, emphatic pronoun, will serve, and this means minister for me as a king. In other words, that's the type of person I'm going to have in my court. Verse 7, no one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will stand conspicuously in front of my eyes. That means in my court. At the mornings. Now, at the mornings, this is plural. It means early and constantly. We've heard the old adage, vote early and often. That's what they did in Chicago under Mayor Daley, vote early and often. But here, David has the same kind of an idiom, at the mornings or early and constantly. I will put to silence all of the wicked in the land. Every worker of iniquity I will cut off from the city of Yahweh. In other words, David is going to be constantly observing his court. And if there was a foul-up, he would address it immediately and have the party removed. Now, of course, David himself failed on this because he committed immorality, so he did not walk blamelessly in his own house, verse 2. So the only one who's actually going to fulfill this perfectly is the Lord Jesus Christ in his court. But nevertheless, David started off with this intent. So we note important observations about this psalm as follows. In his administration that he desired God to bless, David as overseer, that would be as king, exalted God's grace, that's his loyal love, and justice, qualities that he sought to apply in his own life and administration as a king. Let me just say this. It's very important that anyone in oversight in an administration, regardless what the human institution is, could be business, could be church, could be, a nonprofit organization of some sort. It's very, very important for that person himself to have a proper relationship with the Lord, because everything starts there. I'll never forget when I was in seminary, we had a very successful former graduate of Dallas Seminary who was a pastor, Don Geiger, who was in Dallas at the time. And they had him come into our class to talk about what we needed to do in order to develop a good church. And he said, you need to organize yourself. If you cannot organize yourself, you can't organize other people. And he applied that further. I mean, if you expect your people to come along in this area of life or that area of life, you've got to be there first. They've got to see it. Because if it's not true about you, it won't be true about them, and it won't be true about the rest of the church. So you've got to watch yourself. It's very important. And that's what David was seeking to do here. He thus tried to walk blamelessly before the Lord in his personal life, that he might enjoy God's personal fellowship. That's why he said, when will you come to me? He's talking about fellowship with the Lord. Followed by his walking blamelessly in his own home. So an upright administrator focuses on God's grace and justice, then seeks to apply these qualities to his personal and then to his home life with his family. Now, I've often felt this way. More than 50% of the success of a marriage is in the hands of the husband, not the wife, the husband, because he sets the tone. And he's got to make sure that he's got to walk with the Lord. As he's walking with the Lord, then eventually it affects his wife, and then it affects his children. And then the family as a whole has an impact on other people. But the man's got to watch himself. And that's what David recognized he needed to do at this point. Now after that, when it came to his royal court, David sought to avoid vile plans and apostate departures from the Lord in his personal conduct as king. This was followed by David's not tolerating people in his court who A, were twisted or perverse in heart, who had wicked intentions that would undermine righteousness in his administration. B, he would not tolerate slanderers who undermine the reputations of co-workers. Boy, that's important, because that goes on, especially in business realm. If you have a co-worker or worker who's slandering the other workers, that creates a backlash and it cuts into the productivity of the company big time. So it's very, very important that the overseer not tolerate that. Nor would he tolerate proud people who were unteachable or not submissive to him or to the Lord. David would not tolerate those who practiced deceit or who lied. That's another biggie. Finally, he would early and constantly, that means at the mornings, punish all the wicked in his realm. A lot of administrators get into difficulty because they delay disciplining nipping something in the bud when they should be nipping it early. If you wait, it gets big and it gets entrenched, and by the time you have to address it, then it affects the bottom line for the whole company or whatever. So the best thing to do is to head it off at the pass immediately. And you can do it with kindness, but you really need to deal with it immediately. And sometimes it means calling the coworker or the employee into the office, having a private talk and clarifying, in this business, this is what we do here and this is what we don't do here. And we hope that you have a long time stay here, but we've noticed this behavior is beginning to arise. I want to let you know right now, we will not tolerate it. So make sure that you correct it. and that kind of a thing. And that's good. It's healthy, and people know where they're at, and people can relate. Good coaches are this way too. If you have NFL coaches or NBA coaches and so forth, they know their players, and their players are highly paid people. They're very skilled. They got huge egos. But a good manager or a coach will sit down and say, look, you know, you've got to plug into the system. We're a team here. You have got to adjust here. Otherwise, you know, we'll buy per contract and move somewhere else. But you're gumming it up, so let's get online. Let's get on beam here. And a good coach will do that. Conversely, David would seek to have people who were faithful or who were reliable, consistent. I've talked to a number of men in our church who have been business owners, and they tell me one of the hardest things they find is hiring people who are going to show up every day on time. Not 15 minutes late, not a half hour late, but show up. And what's really great if someone shows up 10 or 15 minutes ahead of time and starts organizing things on the floor before he punches in. He punches in right at the clock, so he's not getting paid overtime or anything. That, in fact, I know we had one businessman in our church at one time who told me that this worker would come every day. He was 10 to 15 minutes early, and he was going around picking up. It was a mechanic shop, going around picking up tools and getting everything ready for the day, and then he would punch in right on time. He was such a refreshing breath of fresh air that when it came to Christmas time, they gave him a huge bonus simply because he showed up every day and he was on time and he was a good worker. He worked conscientiously, but he took this job to heart. It was his business place. He recognized it. As went the business, so went his job stability, and he got to going. So it's very interesting, consistency. Those who are faithful or reliable and who had a blameless or upright record of conduct to minister as servants in his court. For God's blessing on his administration and for his own efficiency, David praised God's grace and justice, making it the model for his life and his administration, and he sought to walk righteously in his personal and family life as precedents for functioning in his court as a king. In his court, David watched that he obeyed the Lord in his own conduct as a king first, while then not tolerating and removing perverted, slanderous, deceitful, and wicked people both early and constantly, while seeking to appoint faithful, reliable, and blameless people in his court. So, may we who lead in the administration of a human institution, and you know, this could be a church, yes, it could be a business, yes, could be a nonprofit organization, some sort of human institution, may we heed David's example and how he ran his life in court, except in the case of Bathsheba, of course. And may we who vote for administrators over us choose those who align with David's example. Now, that's important. We have, every now and then, we have a vote as a church during our annual meetings. We vote people into office and so forth. So it's good for us to look for people who are faithful, who are reliable, who are blameless. And if we're looking for voting someone who's going to be in administration, look for someone who's going to be copying the pattern that David has laid out here, so that we know how to vote. It's interesting how practical the Word of God is, and this is one of those very practical psalms, and we're grateful to the Lord that David, you know, formed this as a song, believe it or not, for the Lord, on how he was going to run his administration. But he recognized that how went his administration, so went his function as a monarch. And as a monarch, he affected the whole nation. So it was absolutely imperative that he had the right type of people and that he had a smooth working situation in the administration. The administration has an impact, either for good or for bad. And it's up to the overseer of the administration to check it out and to go with it and to do that which is focusing on righteousness. But it's interesting. Once again, the focus starts with the administrator himself. If you cannot rule yourself, you're worse than a person who, you know, does anything else. There's a proverb somewhere that says, he that rules himself is better than he that taketh a city. That's very, very true. A good administrator controls himself. Abraham Lincoln was a prime example of this. He had a huge burden on his shoulders because he was bearing up with a civil war, and he didn't know at the time how it was going to turn out. Could have ended in his death and execution if the North had lost. He did not know, but in fact, they have a photograph of Lincoln at the start of the war and a photograph of him just before he died, and he aged, looked like 10 years in that period of time, and he bore tremendous burdens on himself. But he knew how to control himself. He knew how to control his board around him, his cabinet. And he was a man of integrity, impeccable integrity. He did that which was according to his conscience. He didn't really care how people thought about it. He just did that which he felt was honest and right. And we as a nation have a tremendous debt to pay to that man that we can't. Of course, we cannot pay back because he's deceased. But that's the type of administrator that we need, one who runs himself well, and then he can lead other people. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback on this psalm or subject related to it. It doesn't have to be if there's something else that has come up.